Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I am the host at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me, waking me up this morning, and giving me the activities of my limbs. I also want to thank you guys for joining me. I know I waited till the last minute to post this stuff, but you know what? I have had a very interesting day. I don't know what's going on with this weather. I don't know what's going on in the world, but and my throat is sore. I started not to even do a show today, but I see it. I will go do it because I will press my way through it because, again, this is not for me. This platform is designed in order to share information, put information out there, connect individuals, because for some reason people still have this taboo as it relates to therapy. Some individuals operate based on fear. Some individuals, it's just their pure ignorance. But there are some individuals that are really, truly benefiting from not only the work that I do, but also the information that other people are putting out there, be it TikTok, be it Instagram, or whatever it is. My thing is, if you know you are going through something, or you're struggling with something, and it's causing an impact in regards to how you relate or receive information or engage with other people, I like what T.D. Jakes said when he said, what happened to you is not your fault, but it is your responsibility to do something about it. And a lot of times, individuals may not know what to do, where to start, or how to even go out and get some help. But social media can be good, it can be bad, but there is a lot of ways to connect with individuals, be it through therapy. Some individuals have insurance, some may not, but when we start talking about addressing our mental health, our behavioral health is also, in regards to what we do, also dealing with relationships can also play a role. So that brings me to today's topic. And today's topic has to do with projection. And some might say, Jeanette, what do you mean by projection? Are we talking about a TV screen? Are we talking about how we see things that have happened to us? But when we project something onto somebody else, I call this like throwing me your mess. It's a good way of looking at it. And when we start talking about the mess, what is the mess? What am I projecting? You know, a lot of times individuals would say, oh, you're in denial. And to be honest with you, that was kind of like, what you're talking about? I'm not in denial. And it's interesting because I've learned that individuals are in denial for a lot of different reasons. And when I say a lot of different reasons, they may know, but yet may not know what to do about it. They may have been told these things, but yet just because they were told it, that don't mean that they received it. Now, I posted on Facebook and I said, I see how you doing, Marcia. You can call in if you want to. I put it out there, and it says, have you ever been told that you're in denial? Do you get upset when other people bring things to your attention? Because sometimes you can say something to somebody, how something is making you feel, or how your views about something, and then all of a sudden, boop, that wall pops up, defense mechanism kick in, and you're like, what the hell did I just say? What did I just tap into? How did I just touch you? Now, if they get upset when you bring things to their attention, or do you respond by saying, what about so-and-so? Well, what about you? And remember when you, it's like, that's not what we're talking about right now. I'm trying to bring something to your attention as a sense of awareness versus pointing it out. I'm not judging you. I'm not blaming you, but I'm using I statements in regards to this is how I feel about this. So if these things are being done, more often than not, it's a form of a defense mechanism. And when we talk about the form of defense mechanism, there are several different types of defense mechanisms. And I'm telling you, a lot of individuals are not aware of this. And maturity does not come with age. Just because you see that they 50, 60, or 70, 30, whatever, the way they react and respond, sometimes, like they say, they're like an old fool, but you can tap into something. It's like a digging for oil or a well. You just touched on some insecurities. You just opened up Pandora's box with this little boy still ain't healed from this stuff, or this little girl is still broken by some of the things that she has experienced, and they're taking it out on other people. And it could be internal. It could be external. However, we have to learn how we must take accountability for our actions. It may not always feel good. People may not always play fair. And yeah, you may feel like you get blamed or got blamed for everything when you was a kid. But just because somebody says something to you about something doesn't mean that they're blaming you or blaming something on you. Sometimes if we take the time to listen, we might learn something. Or it's crazy, but sometimes we give people the material and the information, but then when they start seeing how, you know what, this is not my stuff. This may have happened in your marriage. This may have happened with your mama, your daddy, your sisters, your brothers. And because you did not heal, because you did not process it, now you're taking it out on me. And you may not even be aware of it. So I want to hear your thoughts as to if you are in a relationship with someone or if you notice that you are doing this. And like I said, it could be subconsciously. You may not even be aware of it. Because I have friends, I've dated men that as soon as I open my mouth, well, what about so-and-so? Or well, what about, and you, like, really? But you know what? You just need to roll with it. You roll with it. So if you want to call in and join in on this conversation, give me a call at 516-387-1914. Because like I said, these are skills that we have to learn, techniques to help us become a better version of ourselves and to learn how to better communicate with other people, be it at work, be it within our homes or in a relationship with another person, and also to have some peace, to be at peace with yourself. That's really more important, is to have that peace of mind to where, you know what, I don't have to blame nobody for this. I can own my stuff. Yes, I'm aware of it. But even if you are aware of it, what you going to do about it? That's my question. What are you going to do about it? And I want to say this. I used to think when I was younger that when an individual became defensive, they was defensive because they didn't want people to either, I don't want to say know their secret, but they didn't want to feel like they were being targeted. Hey, Joanne, I see you. I don't know if you're still working, but you know you can call in because we talked about this yesterday. So I don't know if it's that we don't want people to know our secrets, or we think that we're going to get exposed, or we think that they're going to judge us, or whatever the case may be. But the thing is, that is not always the case. It really isn't. So with that being said, when we talk about, well, why do you feel that you have to, hey, why do you feel that you have to protect yourself, put this wall up? Now, let me give you what they call about defense mechanism. And I just found this, and this is more of the definition of it. It says in a psychoanalytic theory, defense mechanism is an unconscious psychological operation that functions to protect the person. That's when they become defensive. They're trying to protect themselves from anxiety-producing thoughts and feelings related to internal conflicts and outer stressors. Now, another way of looking at it is that it is an unconscious psychological process employed to defend against feeling these things. and unacceptable impulses at levels of consciousness, meaning now I'm aware, because I'm going to tell you it wasn't me. I didn't do it. But when we start talking about these behaviors, according to the theory, healthy people normally use different defense mechanisms throughout their life. Now, a defense mechanism can become pathological only when its persistent use leads to maladaptive behaviors, such as that the physical or mental health of the individual is adversely affected, meaning, do you really believe in lies? You know you're playing, right? You know you really, really. Do you not realize that I know I didn't do that? So when we're talking about being gaslighted, when we're talking about being ghosted, when we're talking about individuals' insecurities, which is really huge, is another one. But when we start talking about these anxiety-producing things, and a lot of times it can happen in social settings, sometimes it could be one-on-one when you're dealing with someone, hey, Kenny Smith, I see you out there. And again, and I'm going to tell you again, if you are in a relationship or you have a parent that you know or anybody you're dealing with, it could be a sibling, whenever you say something to them about something, automatically, boop, here come that wall. Boop, here come that wall. What about you? Well, how you go judge me? It's not about being judged. We don't have to be so defensive. We really don't. And the thing is, often people can see things that you may not even have paid attention to. Or you may have said something to them that they really remember what you said and where that stuff is coming from. So let me, give me one second. Because I want to make sure that, like I said, this information, and if you're out there, pick my brain, because this is the time and this is my way of giving back. Many of you know that, yes, I am a licensed therapist. I do a lot more than just therapy. I do mediations, divorce mediations. I do conflict resolutions. I do interventions. I'm very knowledgeable within the military culture, work with kids. It was funny the other day I was on Facebook and somebody posted something and said, do you know anybody that work with kids? I got a kid. I just gave them the information from my website. I would prefer working with an individual that is defensive and angry and mad than a person that's depressed or a person that is suicidal. So when we start talking about these things, and even talking about projection and getting the help, I always tell individuals, we gotta address that inner child. We gotta work on these things. And I'm not saying you gotta do it and all this stuff will happen overnight. Because remember at first I said that it could be unconscious, but sometimes you can know what you're doing. And it could be a form of deflecting, meaning I'm gonna dump my stuff on you. I'm gonna deflect this stuff because I don't wanna feel it. So as soon as something come up or I start feeling uncomfortable about something, I am going to say, wasn't me, I didn't do it. And so that is a part of when we start talking about being defensive. And I want to know from you, how do you judge a person being defensive or if a person is becoming defensive? A lot of times, many individuals can be in a relationship with someone that they may not even feel comfortable sharing the information or sharing how they feel, or they withhold things because they don't know how the person is going to respond. So when I indicated to be defensive is to react with an overprotective mentality so the situation doesn't perhaps, it may not even warrant it, meaning that it's not even necessary. Defensiveness is an impulsive and reactive mode of responding, meaning they will respond or an individual may respond to a situation, a conversation. That's where they respond. Rather than listening with an open heart, most people will respond with the metaphor that shield up, weapon drawn, I feel like I'm under attack. I feel like you dumping all this on me. So, and again, who knows? It could be. Now, what does it mean when someone gets defensive? Again, Defensiveness is a negative defense mechanism in which we deny or deflect a complaint to protect ourselves from our perceptions of being insufficient or wrong. You know, and I know you told me you wrote on there, Joanne, projection, but we do project, and we often will project when we feel or because it is a defense mechanism. And I'm going to go over some of the defense mechanisms because I'll tell people in a heartbeat. I know mine. My defense mechanism is laughter. I will laugh. And I saw this little thing on Facebook, where this girl, this little kid was saying something to her daddy, and her father was laughing, and she was like, she was frustrated. And she was like, it's not funny. Why are you laughing? Please stop laughing, daddy. It's not funny. And it reminded me of when my son be telling me, you think everything is funny. Everything is just funny to you. And I be telling people, y'all just don't know, I am laughing to calm myself down. Because I'm not trying to get mad. I'm really not trying to get mad. I'm not going to let you take me there. So all of a sudden, it would just get funny to me. I will get the giggles. I just turn silly and I start laughing. And that's my defense mechanism. Other individuals may do other things, and projection is one of them. And what happened is we might feel defensive when we perceive that we are being criticized or blamed. So even if you criticize me, I'm going to laugh at you. Because most of the time, your opinion is not my fact. That is your opinion, and we all have opinions. And a lot of times individuals will, they used to say constructive criticism. So you're going to try to bring me down and then you're going to build me back up. Yeah, really? Really? What you're doing is you're hiding your own stuff. But you don't want your stuff out there. So, and I'm not saying that people got to put their stuff out there. I'm not saying that. Because there's a time and a place for everything. But when an individual is in a relationship and they feel like they're constantly being criticized, sometimes they can feel like they're not enough. Or if they feel like they're constantly being blamed, sometimes they can have a lot of self-doubt. So these are where some of these things can cause what we say painful emotions, or individuals become defensive to avoid the painful emotions that may come up. So when we start talking about that, what kind of trauma causes defensiveness? An example of defensive behavior stems from trauma when someone has been through abuse in the past. You triggered something. You brought something up. They can have a hard time trusting individuals because of it. So when their individuals or partner or parents or somebody question them about something, one may lash out with defensive actions to keep others away. That's your protection. When, you know, stay away from me. People say, well, they became very defensive. They're in denial. But they try to push people away from either something bad happening or so that they won't have to deal with it. Now, I'm looking at something, and it talks about signs of defensive behaviors, because there's a lot of different signs that you know that this individual is becoming quite defensive. And I like to say, too, that it's part of their survival skills. That's, being defensive helps protect that person. So when we start talking about defensive behaviors, they are immediate and direct behavioral responses. Meaning, I feel like I'm being threatened. I feel like I'm under attack. So this is how, you know, I may respond. So, and it's not that the person is being overly sensitive. They may just have difficulties in regards to how they may react. Now, I'm looking at something, and it says defensiveness, how it can harm relationships, and how to change. Now, when we try to cope, or let's say, somebody told me, my sister from another mother used to say, Jeanette, you have two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. That means you don't have to automatically just jump to a conclusion or just let the person finish, because if you're listening, you might learn something. And I would twiddle my thumbs. I become impatient because I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to wait. I'm waiting on the punchline. I'm waiting on the be like, okay, now what? Now, when we start talking about defensiveness, it's an attempt to cope by denying your part of the problem and deflecting the responsibility onto someone else. It is usually a response to a feeling of feeling criticized or blamed, avoiding negative about yourself. Defensiveness is destructive to a relationship. But it is possible to learn how to stop the defensive response and address the underlying insecurities. So we would say, okay, well, how am I supposed to do that? First, you got to identify it. You got to know what it is. You got to develop coping strategies. You got to hear them out before you even respond. Hear them out. And a lot of times that become huge in regards to what to do. Now, here it is. It says some signs that you or your loved one is exhibiting defensive behaviors. You stop listening to what they say because you become anxious. Sometimes you become annoyed. Sometimes you become upset by what they said. Instead of admitting that your mistakes, because sometimes you say, you never admit what you do. You never take the, everything is always, how you going to sit there and tell me what I don't admit to? Now, so what happens is, instead of admitting your mistakes and trying to make corrections, people give excuses for them. They use an excuse to justify why they do what they do. You criticize them when they try to discuss a problem in your relationship with you. They're bringing something up to let you know, this right here is bothering me. I'm not judging you. I'm not. And it's really good to, I want to say this. Communication is key. So as you are communicating, you got to be mindful that the other person is on the other end receiving your message, and they may not hear what you want them to hear based on how you are putting it out there. So you also have to be mindful of that. So another thing is you try to justify your behavior, although you know that you did something wrong. You bring up the past mistakes that you made rather than stick to the topic of the current complaint about your actions. Or you tell them that they shouldn't feel hurt or angry, whatever they're feeling, rather than accept their feeling as valid. All you have to do is, you don't want to placate. You don't want to just agree to go along with them. And I tell individuals this. Sometimes you can start off by saying, you know what, I would like to have an adult conversation with you about. Or, you know, I need to talk to you about something. But you also want to make sure that when you're starting this conversation, you're not putting them on the defense by making them think they're in trouble. Because, hey, Teddy, you know I miss you. You got to call me, Teddy. I'm looking at the names that are popping up on Facebook, and I really appreciate you guys on Facebook. But if you want to call in and join me on the in the conversation or on the as we're talking about this topic, because many individuals have had things projected onto them, give me a call. 516-387-1914. Because I want to know, how did you handle when you felt you was under attack? Did you attack back? Did you talk back? She said, I miss you too. I'll call you. We have to catch up. I know. I don't even know where you at right now. You be on the go so much. But you know I need you with the social media stuff because I got a whole lot of stuff going on. So, again, give me a call, 516-387-1914. I heard Mr. Paul come in here. Mr. Paul, are you in here? I'm trying to diffuse something. Mr. Paul? Oh, I guess Mr. Paul not in here. Okay, thought I heard somebody in here. Okay, so we start talking about projections. Let me get to the. Oh, you in Vegas? Now, I know I need to come visit you. Okay, I'll give you a call. I don't know if you still have the same number, but I do have the same number, so give me a call and let me know. Okay, when we talk about projection in regards to a defense mechanism, because like I said, there are several. And what is projection? Is it a trait? Projection as a defense mechanism. When we talk about just the projection, individuals recognize they know what they did. Not appropriate. They know that this ain't cool. But what happens is they try to avoid it, and they will put it off onto somebody else. Now, Sigmund Freud was the one who came up with the idea, when we talk about defense mechanism as part of his psychoanalytic theory. He said that defense mechanism is an unconscious strategy people use to defend the ego against uncomfortable personal characteristics that will cause anxiety. society if they recognize them consciously, meaning I don't want to deal with this. So subconsciously, I'm going to try to defend it. Now, the development of projection depends on an internalized understanding of right or wrong. Some will say, you know you're better than doing that, right? But what you do is you flip. It's called flip the script. And that was another way of looking at projection. Now, when we start talking about it depends on the internalized understanding of right or wrong, and therefore can't be used as a defense mechanism until the individual develops a conscious mindset during mid-childhood, meaning you know better. We know that things are not always black or white. We know that projection is considered immature, and it does not mean adults doesn't use it. At one time or another, adults will use that defense mechanism in some kind of way to protect themselves against a threat to their sense of self. Hey, Crystal, you know you can call in too. And not only as a in regard to their sense of self, but they use it constantly, relying on immature defense mechanisms that others employ mature defense mechanisms. Meaning, you know, I don't have to put my stuff off on other people. I can own it. I know it. I get it. But I don't need to try and exploit it. But it's communicating with other individuals. Now, it said, meanwhile, a study of young adults demonstrated that extensive use of projection as a defense mechanism was associated with what they call suspicious hyper-alert personality style in men and a sociable, trusting, non-depressed personality style in women. You know, a lot of times when we talk about blaming someone or it's not my fault, they did this to me, and you don't understand, you know, we got to just be mindful of these things. Now, I'm getting this information from what's called Very Well Mind. And what they talk about, examples of projection, as is used as a defense mechanism in any circumstances, people project their self-esteem by denying characteristics, impulses, or feelings they find threatening while seeing those same characteristics in somebody else. Now, it says, a wife is attracted to a male coworker but can't admit her feelings. So when her husband talks about female coworkers, she becomes jealous and accuses him of being attracted to the other woman. She's projecting it because she knows what she got herself going on. A man who feels insecure about his masculinity mocks other men for acting like women because he got his own stuff. A woman criticizes her daughter for interrupting her while she's talking when, in fact, she regularly interrupts her daughter, projecting, blaming. So this kind of goes on and on and on and on and on. We start talking about these things. But what do you do if you know that you are projecting? How do you recognize and overcome projection? Mr. Paul! Lord, they always gonna have something. Mr. Paul! I need some help. Y'all, you guys just walked in here. I need some help.
Okay.
Projection. Defense mechanism. What's your take on defense mechanisms?
Defense mechanism.
Yeah, a defense mechanism.
Like when you defending everything?
Well, okay. Mr. Paul, you know what? I noticed that sometimes when you're talking to individuals, you may come off as being very intellectual.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like you're talking down to me. And why you do that? You know,
And that comes from people not. It's just people setting their ways, man, and don't understand that it's a way to communicate and it's a way to non-communicate. Some people take things verbally as you're attacking them, but you're really not attacking them. You're just trying to get an understanding. Mm-hmm. And most people don't have that intellectual understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stuck in their ways, and everything you tell them is wrong, and everything you're trying to explain to them is wrong, and everything. It goes back to biting on nails with your teeth. And they don't get that. You're not down-talking them. You're not disrespecting them. You're just trying to get a point to where they can. Most people don't have common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't have common sense, you always got your guard up and you're ready to fight.
Mm.
Verbally.
Mm.
Verbally.
And see, it could be internal or it could be external.
That's right.
But a lot of times it can be subconsciously to where a person do feel as if they're being attacked. And being defensive is their way of protecting themselves from that.
You're really not being defensive.
Mm.
Let me ask you this. How can you see what's wrong with you if somebody don't tell you, hey, this is what's going on? And then you go, man, I'm just telling you what I see. And you can tell me the same thing, and I'm not going to go into that phase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, oh, for real? Okay, I understand. Mm-hmm. Maybe I am being a little too aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I am being more verbal. Maybe I am being misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just misunderstanding me and can't get a comprehension of what I'm trying to tell you. That comes from lack of confidence, lack of understanding, lack of nobody telling you nothing. Because you're going to always have this, you could have a whole bunch of head but have no damn sense.
I like that. They got no sense.
They got no sense. You got an empty space up there.
as my
dad would say, you got all that head and you're using it for a parking lot.
Now,
the parking lot is empty and you got 100 cars in line.
Well, one of the things we start talking about a person becoming defensive, and I like to say addressing that inner child. I know that there are several different defense mechanisms. We have denial. We used to always say they're in denial.
Yep.
When you're talking about a person with a substance use
or
a person with an addictive behavior, and you address that, or you bring it to their attention in regards to, look, you going, like if you were to tell me, Jeanette, I'm noticing you going to a casino quite a bit. Or you know what, Jeanette, you didn't take care of, let me tell you, and what about, and at least I didn't. I just automatically just, boom, we done went all the way from you saying, you know, Jeanette, I'm noticing that you're tired because you're coming home at 2 in the morning. Or I'm noticing because you could be concerned and bringing it to my attention that I may not be aware that I'm doing this and it's impacting other people.
And then when you say, hey, why are you fighting me? I'm just trying to explain something to you. I'm not trying to tell you nothing. I'm not trying to give you no advice. I'm just trying to explain to you what I see every time I talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can't talk to you and you've always been defensive, then how can you ever learn anything?
That's true. That's true.
God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason.
And I said that 2 eyes, 2 ears, and 1 mouth. But here's my question there. Because a lot of times, you know, people go into a like childlike behavior. And it could be something that they may be embarrassed about.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that you're tapping into their insecurities. So
mainly there.
They don't want nobody to see all of that or know it, so they try to hide it, so they deflect it.
They deflect.
Or
you say, oh, you're doing this. Oh, you're doing that. Okay, well, tell me so I can correct.
Correct. And not only correcting it, and you brought up something because you first got to be able to identify it. You got to acknowledge it. And normally, some of these things we don't see.
Acknowledge.
We don't see because nobody ever said anything.
Nobody ever said anything.
About it. So when we talk about these different forms of defense mechanism, like I said, denial is one, projection is another one. I like humor. We got sublimination. We got suppression. So there's a lot of different things that people do that they may not even be aware of how. It's like I could be doing a group, and based on the topic, it remind me of something.
Yeah, most of the time they're hiding from it.
Okay.
And don't want to correct it.
Okay.
But in order for you to correct anything in life, you got to see it's happening. And if you can't see it's happening, how are you going to correct it? If somebody don't tell you it's happening, how are you going to correct it? So therefore, you have to let your guard down and try to understand that they're just trying to help you because they love you. And most people don't understand that. They think you always be, you beat them. You always beat them. You always telling me something. Think about you. Well, tell me what's wrong with me.
Oh, God. You said you always beat on me. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Most people look at, oh, you're beating on me. You're beating on me. Wow.
I'm
just trying to get you to see something you don't see.
Well, and a lot of times, too, and I guess, I don't know if it's because of who is the one that's bringing it to their attention or they're used to being reprimanded. Now, I brought up some of the different types of defense mechanism. Like I said, we talked about denial, denying something exists. We got repression, which is unconsciously keeping unpleasant information from your conscious mind, so you repress it. Suppression, consciously keeping unpleasant information from your conscious mind, sublimination, converting unacceptable impulses into more adaptable outlets, meaning you are, instead of doing this, you're doing that. You're substituting it. Projection, assigning your own acceptable feelings or qualities to others. You're putting it off on somebody else. Intellectualization, thinking about stressful things in a clinical way. Rationalization, sometimes we try to rationalize. Justifying an unacceptable feeling or behavior with logic. That's another one. And most of the time people don't even know what they're talking about. Regression, reverting to earlier behaviors, because they do that, individuals do that. Reaction formation, replacing an unwanted impulse with its opposite. And like I've talked a little bit about displacement, because we will also displace things. Now, when we get back to projection and how do I project this onto you, I like to say parents are good at that. Many parents will project their childhood experiences onto their children.
90% of
them. Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we have to be more conscious of how we talk to our children,
mm-hmm.
how we react with our children. We can't be their best friend.
No.
Being a best friend ain't good for you. Mm-hmm. You can be their friend, but you can't be their best friend because they're going to always revert back to them.
Well, they'll say, or here we go again. A person tell you, well, you said I could talk to you about anything. You said that, but you come to me with some BS.
Yeah,
you coming to me to talk to me after you already lied to me about it, and now you coming to me with a whole different story that's different from the story you already just told me. And I'm supposed to be able to, but I could talk to you about anything.
I'm not going to fight for your bullshit.
And I'm not going to take blame for what you've done.
That's right. You can be upset, mean, misunderstood, whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to fight for your bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you straight up and straight down how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and my daughter had a type of relationship where I told her, you can tell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, and she tell you the same here. And I want you to, you know, always try to be truthful with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you tell one lie, you got to tell another lie to cover it up.
Yes,
and when
yeah.
you cover that lie up, you still got to find another lie to cover that one up. By the time you get to the third or fourth lie, you done forgot the first or second lie that you done told. So now you're trying to figure out, did I really say that? Yeah, you said it. Would you like me to record it for you so you can really understand what you said?
That part right there. Yeah. That part right there.
And my mom was crucial with that. She said, if you lie to me, you got to tell another lie to cover the lie you just told, and then you're going to tell another lie to cover those two lies you just told, then you're going to tell another lie to cover the three lies you didn't told, and by the time you get to that fourth or fifth lie, you don't remember the first and
don't
second.
Don't even remember what you said, and
yeah.
that's the one thing about the truth.
Yeah.
You go remember the truth, and no matter how they question you or propose it to you.
And some people can't even remember what the truth is.
It's their perception.
Yep.
And but see, when we said
well,
we went to a whole different thing. We talk about the truth because
but
sometimes
it's
how
it
they
turns
may perceive
back to
it.
What you was talking about in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
because if you can't tell me the truth, how you gonna cipher what you're telling me now?
Mm-hmm.
How I'm supposed to decipher what you're telling me now is not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So just be correct and be for real. Don't bullshit around the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, hey, you know what? This is what I'm going through. Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to say that than to keep lying about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I did do that. It's messed up. You know what I'm saying?
And not only just lying, Mr. Paul, it's also we are ashamed or we may don't want nobody to know or we got these hidden things because even when you're tapping into the biggest thing that I see, even as a therapist and working with couples, I find that they will project their stuff onto other people, and it could turn into a form of abuse, meaning it could be verbal aggression, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and these abusive behaviors are formed from things that are projected onto their partner that's not their partner stuff in order to keep them afraid or intimidate them or bully them. So now you going crazy wondering, why is Jeanette treating me this way? Because she's just mean because she's trying. trying to deal with something, but I'm throwing it off on you. I like using the analogy, being going to the zoo and the monkey throwing the shit on you. You go see the monkey that took the boo and threw it on you. Don't throw me your shit.
Yeah, but as you say, in a relationship, you know, sometimes we have to just step back out of that relationship and understand what's not working and try to bring your partner in on a different level to where they understand it, that you're not trying to abuse them, you're not trying to BS them, you're just trying to correct them so we can be better.
Correct.
And if both of us are better, ain't no telling what we can come.
That right there. So my question then becomes, and you asked the question about how do you, it's like bringing a sense of awareness. So the first step to self-reflection is to be honest with yourself.
Be honest with yourself.
Gotta be honest with yourself about what makes you insecure, anxious, and examine the traits and impulses you have that you least like about yourself. A lot of times people are like, you know, I like when I would talk to my friend Keith, he would say, you gotta look at the man in the mirror. Gotta look in the mirror.
First of all,
what do you see when you look in that mirror?
And you know, I find myself sometimes just, you know, stepping back and saying, God, show me what I'm doing wrong so I can correct it. Show me what I'm doing wrong, not what he's doing wrong, not what she's doing wrong. Help me to understand what I'm doing wrong so I can correct myself. And if you can't correct yourself, then you're going to always be in that zone of, oh, well, just there you go. No.
Well, that goes to the second step. Attempt to view your behavior objectively to see if you may be projecting any anxieties you have about yourself onto someone else.
Yeah.
And try not to judge yourself during the exploration. Observe and honestly assess without dwelling on anything you uncover. A lot of times we don't give ourselves no, we don't have compassion for ourselves. If you don't have compassion for yourself, you go try your best to beat down somebody else.
Yep,
you know,
that's why I'm always stepping outside my box looking at me. Because the first person you got to help is you. If you can't help you, then you all screwed up. That's real. You can't, if you can't help yourself, then you all screwed up. You know, sometimes we get complacent and we put others before us.
And
we really should be trying to focus on getting us right first before we can get anybody else right. Because how can you get you right if I'm all screwed up? It's impossible.
Well, sometimes you get two screwed up people, and they think they're going to have a happy relationship.
Never going to happen.
That ain't going to work.
Never going to happen. You're going to always wind up with black eyes every day.
Or get cussed out.
Yeah, that's what I mean by black eyes.
Police always going to be at your house.
Wow, what the hell? What
your
did
fight.
I say this time? Yeah.
You know,
what did you say this time?
I remember the movie, well, the sitcom, Living, what was it? Color or something.
Living Color.
Living Color.
Living Color, yeah.
Yes.
With Living the Wayans brothers.
Yes. And remember they had Mr. and Mr. Brooks?
And they would
fight like cats
like
and
cats
dogs.
And dogs.
And be like, but we still together.
That's right. We still together. Yeah.
Because they were bouncing things back and forth off of each other without even realizing that they were, it's a form of projection.
Yep.
You know, and the thing is this, you got to own it. You got to own it. And even if...
That goes back to saying, if you can't see what's wrong with you, how are you going to see what's wrong with somebody else?
Well, if people are really quick to point the finger. And like they say, well, you got one finger pointing at you, you got all the other ones coming back at
you. That's right.
Without
you
even realizing
it. The point.
Correct. Correct.
And all four of them coming back at you like, oh, okay. But that's why I say it goes back to, you know, self-awareness. And if you can't be self-awareness of yourself and what you're doing, how are you going to correct somebody else?
Well, this is what I tell individuals, even being a therapist. If what I say don't apply to you, but if I said something that you can use or learn from or it can help you, use it. I don't have to be right. In therapy, I tell individuals, therapists get judged more than the therapist judge the client because they're already coming in defensive. And because I'm aware of defense mechanisms, I can pick it up. And once I pick it up, and it's not for me to throw it back up in your face, and that's when we talk about the difference between transference and countertransference, but by that same token, once I'm aware that this right here is a sensitive nature or a sensitive, in regards to how you may perceive it or be perceived.
Paletta.
Come here, Paletta. You could be on Facebook with me. I used to have right. Oh, wait. Because remember, I ain't got that. Ooh,
right.
Okay. This is Miss Paletta. Hey, say hey.
Hey,
she's like, wait a minute, I see me.
Hey,
okay, we got Pauletta right here. Okay, now I got to lift you up so you can see. So when we talk about these different things and how it relates to relationships, she's looking at her eyes like, wait a minute, I see the thing in front of me. I don't know what's going on right now. And she was like, Ryder used to be on TV. Now I get to be out here. I used to have Ryder like this when I was doing my shows. So now she can laugh and smile. Hey, say hi to the people. I know. Looking at yourself.
Movie star.
Come on, Pauletta. Come on, Pauletta. So when we start talking about this, she wanted to jump. Yes, I am. When you start talking about projection, what are some of the ways that individuals can learn to know that, okay, this is not mine. I'm not going to take it personal, but yet I'm going to hear you out.
Hear you out. And that's what most people don't want to hear. I ain't hearing you. I don't want to hear it. I don't never know what you're talking about. You keep that BS to yourself because I ain't trying to hear it. And it don't take but, like I said, God gave you 2 ears and a mouth. And if you can use those 2 ears more than you use that mouth, man, just imagine what you're going to accomplish. And most people don't want to do that because they're scared of change.
There you go. That's another big one.
You can't be scared of change.
There you go.
Because it's either you're changing for the better or you're changing for the worse. Which one you want?
Uh-huh.
And when you don't listen, you got to be changing for the worse. But when you listen and take that in and comprehend it and suck it up like a sponge and say, damn, maybe I am doing that. Let me see how it'll work if I change that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see how that'll work if I just change it a little bit and see what happens. And most people are so scared of change. We're in a society where everybody wants everything microwave ready.
Nope. Big time.
You can't have
Well, you know, we don't call it, we not only call it Michael, we call it Burger King.
Yep.
You want to have it your way.
Have it your way. You can't have it your way all the time.
So when you don't go your way and you get upset, then you want to blame people.
Oh, well, you should have told me. Duh. Hello. After they done screwed it all up.
Yeah.
Now they want to come back and say, well, you should have, I was telling you that, but you didn't want to hear it. You wanted to have it your way, like Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
So I let you have it, I let you fix your burger the way you wanted to fix it.
That's
nasty, and you don't want to eat it, and you want to blame me for letting you fix it that way. No, it don't work that way.
So
and I'm always down to, first, hear what you got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Second, take that and put it into my feelings so I can understand how can I change me. And if, like I said, if you can't change you, you can't change nobody else. You got to be willing to change, and most people aren't willing to change. Especially if you're over the age of 20, you're like, sure, I want to hear that shit.
Well, that happens with teenagers, too, because they feel like they know it all.
Yep.
And that's
not only teenagers, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, all of them, they think they know everything. But that goes back to the perception of what their parents did, what they told them, and all of this stuff, and, you know, I don't want to be like her, but I want to be like her, but I don't want to be like her. And that's where the perception kills everything.
And so when we start talking about, like I said, being sensitive in nature in regards to how another person, like I said, it's not about just the feelings, but you don't want to put a person in a setting where they feel as if they have to become defensive or as if it is an attack. Because I'm going to say, there are some individuals that they will do that to you in order to hide their stuff, too.
Even if you tell them, hey, this is how I feel when you deal with it, and I don't like it. And then they go, well, blah, 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 I ain't doing that. How you going to tell me how I feel, what you're doing to me, and you don't like it?
Mr. Edna wrote something, you really don't need me to say anything tonight, Jeanette, because Mr. Paul is there, stared pretty much everything. I guess he would have said, so.
The truth is the truth. And like they say, the truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. But you do got to pull the wools and pull the shade out of your eyes before you can start pointing at somebody
and
else in regards
else
to what they did
back
wrong.
To what I just said. You gotta first start looking at you. And if you can't look at you, then you got a whole nother picture going on. And I just want to try to be truthful in everything I do. That way I ain't got nothing falling back at me. Say, well, blah, 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 blah. You do this, you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do it.
You know,
but
she,
I'm trying to correct.
You know, she helping me with my arm, my, you know, lifting weights.
Yeah, getting heavy.
Because, you know, all this morning, all, oh, she is getting heavy. This morning I was like, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to. I got up. I was like, was it raining outside? Was it?
Yep.
I didn't want to go nowhere. Still ain't been nowhere.
I got a trainer.
Oh, you got personal training?
Yeah.
Oh, I need one.
I got you.
In Oceanside?
She right down the street.
Okay, well, I definitely need their number because I need a trainer and a personal trainer and I need a nutritionist. So I got to, I can't be in denial about this dip I got to work on because I got to start moving it. And it's crazy because when I woke up this morning. When I woke up this morning, and it wasn't in denial, it wasn't in projection, the first thing I did was went on Facebook, and I saw something, and a lady was saying, you got to move it.
Yeah.
Even if you got to sit down and move it, just move it.
Just move.
Just move your body. Just move your body.
That's what I'm hoping for, to get more reactions than to get more deactions.
Uh-huh.
I want to prosper more in what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't prosper more if you can't hear.
Correct.
If you got all of this wax in your ear, you need to get a Q-tip and some baby oil and clean them bad boys out where you can hear. That way you can get things better in your
life. So when we start talking, okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. If you're in a work setting, because relationships can vary. It could be a work relationship.
Yeah.
It could be
a
dating relationship. It could be a friendship.
Because, family relationship. Mm-hmm. All that.
Oh, I've had family relationships where people would project things onto you. I've had work relationships where people will project things onto you. So how do you handle that in a work relationship? Because some individuals may be afraid of their boss. And I know they say you're not supposed to like your boss.
They do.
And sometimes the boss can be having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And because the boss is having a bad day, the boss walks into the office and everything gets dropped on their employee. If you're that employee, how would you handle or what advice would you give individuals as the best way to handle it if it's in a work setting? Because remember, each situation is different.
Well, if you're a boss should be able to follow just as well as he leads.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can't follow, then he shouldn't be a boss because nobody knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell, even when I'm going for an interview or anything like that, I always tell a person that I'm talking to, if you can't lead, you can't follow.
There you go.
If you can't follow, you can't lead.
There you go.
So, hey, you know, you got to learn to first be able to take constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't take criticism, then you shouldn't be a boss.
But what
if you can't be throwing all your madness, or, hey, look, bro, you know what? Right now is not the time.
Mm-hmm.
Let, you know, let's get knock this out, and maybe in the middle of the day we can come back to this and figure it out.
So what I'm hearing you say is sometimes individuals have to, you might have to stop them, like calm them down and be like, you know what, time out here. You know, I remember one day I was at church and I was listening to a lady talking to somebody else in the parking lot. And I had to stop her. And I said, you know what, why are you being so mean to that person? And they didn't
church
even...
Parking lot.
In the church parking lot.
And this comes back to one more thing to that. So, you know, I work security at my church. And people used to wonder why I stood at the front door and greeted everybody. Hey, come here, give me a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Come here. Hey, give me a smile. Stop that. Smile.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone wonder, hey, why are you doing that? Because you don't know what that person's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't know what that person's going through, this might be that smile, that hug, that hello that they needed to keep from going home and killing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or going home and killing their children.
Mm-hmm.
Or going home and beating their children senseless.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to always, God said we're servants.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't be servants to others, how can we be servants to ourselves or him?
Mm-hmm. And you know what, and the thing is, too, and talk about why do people do that, and talking about from a boss. And a boss, sometimes they will abuse, or people sometimes abuse their authority. And I'm using it in more in a work relationship because some individuals, whether you are the boss or whether you are the employee, because sometimes the employee will feel like, well, I get blamed for everything, or I got to do this, and nobody do that, or da-da-da-da. And it reminds them of being a kid having siblings.
Yeah.
Why I always got to wash the dishes. Why I always got to clean the bathroom. Why I always... People know. I
when people
like
say that, you know what I tell them? Because you're the best one.
Oh, that's a good one. Because you do such a good job.
You do such a good job. I got to keep you doing it. Because I know if you don't do it, it ain't going to be done right.
You know what?
And that makes you think like, oh, well, shit.
My, My inner child just kicked in. I remember being a kid with me and my sisters. My mother would give us weekly chores, mm-hmm. and every week I would want to do the dishes. I don't mind washing dishes.
Me neither.
But she said, okay, Paul, someone, she said, gas is all covered. I don't know what she's talking about.
Gas is all covered.
Liddell said something. I don't know what she's talking about.
Me neither.
Gail, Dale, we don't know what she's talking about.
What
okay.
Gas?
I don't know what she's talking about.
I'll just put it in a can and send it to me then.
Oh, she said, oh, you know what? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's on something else. Okay, Dale, I don't know what you're talking about. Dale, you know you can call in. So when we start talking about these things, I don't like cleaning the bathroom. I did not like cleaning the bathroom because our bathroom was so small, and my mother would make us use, she was worse than I'm used, would Trump use the analogy of drinking bleach for COVID?
Mm-hmm.
My mother would give us bleach, Pine Sol, ammonia, Ajax.
And mix it all together.
And then somebody go clean the bathroom. You were trying to kill me. So now, you see, I still don't like cleaning the bathroom.
And the reason I don't mind cleaning all of that stuff is because I'm the youngest,
mm-hmm.
and I had 9 sisters, and mom and dad was at work in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to get outside, I had to do their chores, too. So I'd hurry up and do it and get on out the door because I'm ready to go. And my sisters were so keen on that. Hey, go clean the bathroom. Oh, you done? Go clean the kitchen. Oh, you done? Go clean your bedroom. Oh, you done? Go sweep up the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can go play. Dang, you done killed me. I'm tired.
Thank you. But, okay, so here we go. So now as an adult, if I was to say, Paul, will you become defensive? Because sometimes that defense mechanism will kick in, or we will project it onto somebody else by saying, you never do this, or you always do that, or we, and people may not even know where some of that stuff is even coming from, and sometimes you may be aware, okay, Dale, I know what you're talking about now, I get it, it took me a while, but I get it, okay, so we start talking about that. Now, people project to protect themselves, meaning, I don't want you to know. So because I don't want you to know, I'm going to make it seem like you the bad person. I don't want it to seem like I'm the one with the problem, so I'm going to say you got a problem.
Yep.
Or
okay.
Because I experienced such a bad relationship with someone in my last marriage or relationship, mm-hmm. and now I'm going to make it seem like you did this to me. But you're not the one that did it. It was already done before you got
that's
here.
That's where we get so effed up at. We bring them other relationships into the relationships that we have, and people don't understand. You can't bring all that garbage with you.
You can't
bring all that trash with you because you're not going to accomplish anything. It's going to always
mm-hmm.
be the same thing. You're going to have a rerun of everything that you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to look back. I told my rearview mirror down so I can see out the back because I don't want to see the bullshit that's behind me. It's behind me for a reason.
You really got rid of your rearview mirror?
Hell yeah. Told that bad boy down. I don't look behind me. I look out left or right, but I
don't
look
behind me. Oh, my God. You said I tell my rearview. You know what? That's a good one. I tell people, I used to drive a school bus.
Yeah.
And my windows can be so dirty, but I'll take one little quarter and then I can look out of, and I will fixate on that. They be like, you don't use your mirror. I can drive and I can go anywhere because I can see. Look if I just go look forward. You said I got rid of the rearview mirror.
You can't keep looking in the rearview mirror.
Oh, wow. That is a good one.
Yeah, because you're constantly looking behind you at what you're I don't want to see what's behind me. I want to see what's in front of me.
That's a good one. And they say that's why the windshield is supposed to be bigger than the rearview mirror.
Correct.
So you can focus on what's ahead
of you
versus
what's
behind you.
That's why they tell you, tear that bad boy down so you can't see what's behind
you. Just don't go to DMV to try to, don't go to DMV and try to take a driver's test. And you ain't got no rearview mirror, you gonna fall. They gonna fail you because they looking at, are you using your mirrors, okay?
That's why they get your left and the right.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, one of the ways, like you said, because I know we're running out of time, we got like 33 seconds left, and we're talking about projection, is first of all, be aware of our own stuff.
Be aware of your first, be aware of yourself.
Know
if
yourself.
You can't step back and look at yourself, then you got the issue.
Correct.
Like I said, you got to be able to follow.
And a lot of times we put a Band-Aid on things that we really need some help on.
That's
we really
right.
need
right.
to try to process it. I tell people, we don't get over stuff. We can get through stuff if we learn to accept it for what it is. And I like to say this to clients.
You have to acknowledge it.
Correct.
So if you can't acknowledge it, how are you going to step through?
Correct.
You're going to keep stepping in the same she was stepping in.
My cousin, I haven't talked to him in a while. I need to call him because I forgot to call him for his birthday. But Cedric Blewett, boy, he said on the radio one time, he said, sometimes you can sit and shit long enough, you don't even smell it no more.
You don't even smell it no more.
It's like a dog being in the house.
Yeah.
Coco stinking like heck. But,
yeah.
But sometimes we get used to the smell. We're like, ooh, we know she stank. Somebody else walk in the house, we're like, ooh, stank, you know. But part of the projection is having a self-awareness. Do something about it. So if you're insecure within your relationship, please work on those insecurities and don't blame it on your partner and make it appear as if your partner is responsible for your happiness or what has happened to you. Because a lot of times that becomes a big issue and it becomes too much. They can't fill those shoes. So that's one thing. If you're dealing with fear, I'm not saying go out there and tackle lions and bears and tigers and all of that other stuff, but be able to identify what are you afraid of. What is the worst of the worst of the worst? If you are being dishonest, find out what is this dishonesty about. What is the problem? I caught on to it. I see it. I saw that. I didn't understand it at first, but I got it. So if you're dealing with dishonesty, if you are okay with being okay, that's all that matters. So stop it. Well, first, identify it.
Yep.
Acknowledge it as you recognize it. Stop it. Heal from it. And turn it into something else more productive.
That's right. Use all that bad energy you got to build something else. You can build on bad energy. You can't build on bullshit because it's going to keep sinking down.
I like that. All right. Well, we're going to end tonight because I only ate breakfast, so I got to go fix me something to eat. If I'm going to get a personal trainer, I got to make sure I stop eating really before 7 o'clock because I ain't supposed to eat late. Then
I'm going to call her.
Drinking my water. Yeah, give her a call or give her a call and let me know.
Okay.
All right.
Thank y'all.
Thank you, Paul, for joining me today.
No problem.
And thank you for those that was on Facebook Live. I appreciate it. And again, if you have any topics that you want me to discuss, give me a call. My office number is 714-992-1677. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and on Facebook. This platform is designed for us to be able to share information, to encourage, to empower, and also, like I said, to heal those that are broken, as well as strengthen those that may need to be strengthened, and also help elevate those that are already on their way, evolving and thriving. I know you're saying TikTok. I know I'm supposed to be on TikTok, and I said I'm going to do a TikTok thing every day. I get it, Ms. Dale. You guys be on me, but it's okay. I love you guys. I appreciate you for that. So until Monday, remember you got this, and take care of yourself. Bye-bye.